do you do, church, when God's word is not your will? What do you do when God's answer to your prayer is not the answer you wanted to receive from God? Jeremiah and the people have gone through great tragedy and judgment. The Babylonians have destroyed the city of Jerusalem and destroyed even God's temple. But these actions, church, were directed by our God as judgment on the people for rejecting him, turning down his word. Throughout the book of Jeremiah, we have heard the warnings of God's impending judgment for the people's sins. God kept warning them, but the people wouldn't listen to God's message. Rather than hearing the warnings, they tortured, listen, they tortured and persecuted God's messenger, Jeremiah. However, because of Jeremiah's faithfulness, in Jeremiah 39, verses 11 through 14, Jeremiah's life has been spared by God. Jeremiah 40 opens with this recap of the events that have transpired. In Jeremiah 40, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah, and the captain of the guard proclaims that this destruction was God's doing because the people's continued sinning. But, church, this morning I want for us to see something really important in all of this. I want you to see the awful. After they have been made captive, I want you to see the awful that the Babylonian captain makes to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is offered to go to Babylon with them, where they will take care of him. But if that seemed wrong to him, then he could stay anywhere in the land of Judah. Go to Gedaliah, the appointed governor over the land, or go anywhere else you please. Church, Jeremiah chooses to stay in the land and live among the people of God. Now, I want you to be impressed by this decision. What have the people of this land, God's people, done for him? Think about all the things the people have done to Jeremiah. Remember in Jeremiah 11 that his own hometown and his own family, Brother Scott, were against him. God's prophet to them, they're against him, conspiring to kill Jeremiah. Church, Jeremiah has experienced persecutions and repeated imprisonment, yet Jeremiah will remain in the land, serve the new governor, and continue his work as God's messenger to these same people. Church, this is also similar to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 23, being dragged out of the city, stoned, and left for dead, only to have Paul rise up and go back to that very city, continuing to preach the gospel even in the next cities. Church, these men knew Jeremiah, Paul, they knew that they had a mission given to them that they must fulfill, regardless of the pain and rejection that they had already experienced. Heartland, what we read next is God's grace to these people, those who had not been taken into Babylon exile, remained in the land. In Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 9, Gedaliah tells the people to live in the land, serve the king of Babylon, and it would go well for them. In verse 10, he tells them to gather wine, fruits, and oils, and store them in your storage vessels. Church, you'll notice in verse 12 that everyone who returned and those who remained in the land harvested great abundance. Heartland, listen. If you will listen to God, God will take care of you. I'm going to say that again. If you will listen to God, Brother Scott, God will take care of you no matter where you are. And this is a very important message to the people. If you will listen to God, then God will provide for you. Church, we see God make this point throughout the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, the reason Jesus told us that we do not have to be anxious for anything, why, Brother Red, is because God knows what we need and God will provide for us. I would expect that the people would be happy to settle in and live in the land after all the turmoil and disaster that these people have experienced. However, we read in Jeremiah 40, verse 13, that a conspiracy is now forming against Gedaliah, the new appointed governor. In Jeremiah 40, 14 through 16, Gedaliah is warned of the conspiracy, but Gedaliah does not believe that it's true. In Jeremiah 41, the messenger was correct because Ishmael and his men rise up and they assassinate Gedaliah. Then Ishmael and his men slaughtered 80 men who were going to the ruins of the temple just to offer their sacrifices to the Lord. Then Ishmael captured the town of Mizpah and took captive the rest of the people who lived there. Yohanan then goes after Ishmael, kills him for his evil, and sets the captives free. Church, the point that we are to see in Jeremiah 41, listen, is there is chaos and there is fear in the land. Killing the governor that the Babylonians had appointed is only inviting the Babylonians to come back and attack them further. Further, now we have rogue men running around killing people and capturing people. So yes, there's a lot of fear in the land. In Jeremiah 42, with all the chaos and fear in the land, the people all come to Jeremiah. Brother Scott, we read their words in Jeremiah 42, verses 2 and 3. They plead to Jeremiah now to pray to the Lord on their behalf because they are a remnant and there are only a few of them left. They say, pray to the Lord to show us the way. We want to know the way. Pray to the Lord, Jeremiah, to show us the way we should go and what we should do. Jeremiah says that he will indeed pray to the Lord on their behalf and then tell them all that the Lord gives as an answer. Church, listen to what the people say in Jeremiah 42, verses 5. And 6, they say that the Lord is our faithful witness, that we will act in accordance with all that the Lord says for us to do, if it is favorable or unfavorable, we will listen. The people are really saying it's whatever God says. We know we haven't been doing what God has told us to do, but we know we're in trouble now, and whatever God says, we're going to listen. If the message is pleasant or unpleasant, we will obey the Lord our God. Church, they say that they want to know God's will, and they say that they will do whatever God says, even if the message is unpleasant or unfavorable. Now, 10 days later, the Lord gives a message to Jeremiah to give to the people. All of the people are summoned to come and to hear the message that the Lord has for the people. The message begins in Jeremiah 42, verse 10. Jeremiah tells the people that if they will stay in the land, listen, if they will stay in the land, then God will build them up and not tear them down. God will plant them and not pluck them up. In other words, they're going to be secure in the land if they will just listen to God. Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon. The Lord our God is with you, and he will save you and deliver you from his hand. Church, the Lord will show you mercy and compassion, and you will be allowed to remain in your own land. That's what they're being told. However, in verse 13, Jeremiah tells the people, now, if they choose to not listen to the message, saying that they will go to the land of Egypt, so that they will not have to worry about war or be hungry for bread, then if you do that, then the sword and the famine will follow you to Egypt and will overtake you. Nobody will survive the disaster that will come if you leave the land and move to Egypt and not listen to God. The wrath that was poured out on Jerusalem will also be poured out on Egypt if you move there. Now, church, Jeremiah, make sure the people are clear about God's message. Look at verse 19. This is unequivocal as he could say it. Do not go to Egypt. You have been warned, and it will cost you your lives if you go there. In verse 20, Jeremiah told them, now, you said that you would listen and obey whatever the message the Lord gives to you. In verse 21 and 22, he further tells them that you have not listened to God in the past, and you certainly need to listen to him now. Chapter 43. Now that they've told, Jeremiah's told them that, what will the response, church, of the people be? Now, remember, they said that they would obey, but will they listen to the word of the Lord, or are they just saying something? Look at verse, or chapter 43, verse 2. Listen to what they responded. You are telling a lie. The Lord our God did not send you to say, do not go to Egypt to live there. You want us to be killed or captured by the Babylonians. In verses 4 through 7, all the people did not obey the voice of the Lord to remain in the land of Judah, but go to Egypt. Not only did they go, they took Jeremiah with them. God tells Jeremiah in the land of Egypt to take 2 large stones and bury them at the entrance of the palace to mark that the Babylonians, Brother Scott, are coming. They're coming there and they will rule over it too after he destroys it, just like God said it would happen. Church, I want you, now that I've told you the story, I want you to get the application. I want to return to the questions that we asked at the top of the lesson. I'm talking to you, Heartland. What do you do when God's word is not your will? What do you do when God answers your prayer in a way that you did not want or expect? There are three principles that we learn from these chapters about God and our response to his answers to our prayers. I'll go through those and the lesson will be yours. First, I want you to write this down. God's will can be different than what we want. I want to say that again. Brother Theron, God's will can be different than what you want. As followers of Jesus, as Christians, church, we understand this idea. We get it. We understand it. We know that's true. But when it comes to the times when we want something, we can fall into expecting that our God will answer our prayers the way we want, and we will accept no other response. Can I tell us something? God's word speaks to us, and what God says through his word can tell us the answers we do not want to hear. Whether it be from sexual immorality or divorce, the scriptures are clear in their condemnation of these things, but that can be the answer that we're not looking for. So, church, what will we do when God's answer is not what we want? I can tell you that far too often, people who claim to be Christians, followers of Jesus, will follow their own will and reject what God says, even though they will say that they're seeking the will of God, they're seeking the will of our Lord. It is just like what we're reading in Jeremiah. The people say that they want to do God's will so long as God's will is what I want to do. Church, this is an area where we need to be honest about our prayer life and our desires. Are we really willing to do what God says, even when his will and his word does not match what we want? Church, that was a problem then. It's a problem now. I want to, however, remind us of what we see in our Lord Jesus in Matthew 26, verse 39. Jesus himself prayed for the cup of suffering to pass from him, but then followed that request with the words, "Not my will, but your will be done." Heartland, please consider that the Father's answer was not that Jesus would avoid the cross. The Father's answer is that he would go to it. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, prayed three times for the thorn in his flesh to be removed from him. And three times God's answer was no. But did the Apostle Paul give up on God? Absolutely, he did not. And you can't give up on him either. When we pray to God and God's word is not your will, you can't quit. The Apostle Paul did not go into sin because God didn't answer him in the way that he wanted. Church, we must grasp this very important principle that God's will can be different than what we want. I'm going to say this again. You're not as smart as God. Even if you think it's what you want, Brother Scott, you're not omniscient. You don't know who all the things that God knows. We must grasp this very important principle that God's will can be different than what we want. God might have different plans for me. We must accept God's answer. I've got to accept God's answer and continuing in God's will, regardless of God's answer. This is something that I do want you to write down. True faith obeys God, even when it is difficult, painful, or inexplicable. You don't understand it. You don't even know why. You know what you're praying for, but God's word is not your will. True faith obeys even when it is difficult, painful, or inexplicable. Second, returning to Egypt, write this down. Returning to Egypt never fulfills what it promises. The people in Jeremiah's day thought that safety and ease would be found by leaving what God said and to go do what they thought would be in their own safety and best interest. However, church, what the people are missing and what we can be missing is that rejecting God's word, listen, returns us to slavery, spiritual slavery. Rejecting God's word is what will destabilize our lives and not provide the security that we're looking for, Brother Scott, in our lives. The history of Israel in the wilderness was always believing that what they left behind was better than where they were going. They often wanted to return to Egypt, the place where the pain and slavery began. Why, Brother Red? Because they could not see that listening to God would lead them to freedom and real joy. So often, church, we return to sin because we expect sin and our desires to fulfill what we want in life. But the real truth is we know this is not true. One of the reasons that we became Christians, Heartland, is because we understand the futility of the world and the pain of sin. But then we desire to return rather than trusting that God's will and God's ways are for our good. Church, listen. What I submit to you this morning is do not return to Egypt because they never fulfill the promise that we think is going to be. Don't return to sin. Listen to God in spite of the fact that God's word is not your will. I'm talking about living beyond what I can see. I'm talking about true faith. When things get difficult, get closer to God. Don't run away from God, Sister Jameson. Get closer to God and trust God. Don't return to Egypt, because it's not going to be what you think it is. And in our heart of hearts, we know that. But Sister Tina, we want God to bless us the way we want God to bless us. Do not return to Egypt. It will not be what you think it's going to be. Finally, it's possible, church, write this down. It is possible for God's people to agree on disobedience. We must see the warning that God's people can conspire to disobey and discredit the message. They did it in Jeremiah's day. They're doing it now. Church, there can be whole churches that will agree to not do what the scriptures say. There can be whole groups of Christians who will leave as a group, believing they're doing God's will, but are actually rejecting God's will and God's word. Shockingly, they may even threaten you to join in their disobedience, just as these people did in Jeremiah's day, in Jeremiah 43, verses 5 and 6. But listen, just because a group agree to disobey does not mean that they are right with God. You've seen people split churches, hundreds walk out. But it don't mean that they're right. As we see at the end of Jeremiah 43, God condemns the whole group for their disobedience. Church, listen, going along with the crowd can destroy you. Now, here's the answer to all of this. Listen carefully. If you don't get anything else, get this. You must know the word of God. I'm not talking about half knowing. You must know the word of God. And you must follow the word of God. Even if it means you must go against the majority belief or the majority action of those who claim to be followers of God. I stopped to tell you this morning that following the crowd, because it's a crowd, is not always the best thing. So I'm back to where we started. What will you do when God's will does not match your will? What do you do when you pray to God and God answers you, but it's not what you wanted or expected? Church, listen. Here's what we're going to do, Heartland. Brother Booker, we're going to know God's word. Oftentimes, we know God's word, and as we know God's word, what we will do is still want to do what we want to do. Doesn't work like that with God. What we're going to do is know his word and obey his will. We're not going back to Egypt. We're not going back to slavery, the slavery of sin. We can't do that. But I can tell you what we can do in 2026. We can put our hand in God's hand. Know God's word. Commit in our hearts that we're going to obey God's word and encourage each other in righteousness. Brother Hayden, we're not going to look at what the world is doing or whoever else is not following. No matter how many is involved in that group, Heartland, we want to become the good Bible students. And just know that all the time, God's will is not your, is not God's word rather, will not match what you want. When God's word doesn't match what I want. You know what I need to do, Sister Body? Get up and do God's will. Get myself out of the way. There are times when I'm tired. I just got home from work, and I know Brother Red's going to be in that Tuesday night Bible class, and we're going to be there. I'm tired, and I don't want to go. I don't feel like it. There are times when we know we shouldn't be places that we are. We know God's will. I am saying, when God's word does not match my will, I've got to acquiesce and put God in his rightful place and do what God teaches. Don't go back to Egypt. We became Christians so that we could avoid a spiritual death. We don't want to go back. This is why coming together as a church, as a group, is so important. So we can encourage each other in righteousness. I talk about it all the time in Acts, rather in Hebrews chapter 10. That we come to worship that we might draw near to God with a full assurance of our faith. We come together that we might encourage each other to hold on to the profession of our faith without wavering. We come together that we might spur one another on in love and in good spur one another in love and in good deeds. Church, we cannot go back to Egypt when God's word does not match our will. We've got to honor our God. Whatever it is, get yourself out of the way. Trust God. If you will listen to God, if I will listen to God, Brother Booker, God will provide for me. If we will listen to God, he will provide for us. I hope this morning that I've said some things that would encourage your heart.